Hello there, thanks for tuning in today. My name is Sarah Devorah Chrysler, and with thanks to Hashem, I welcome you to hearing advice that I personally found exceedingly valuable in my own life. You may, though, still wish to consult your healthcare professional or nutritionist before commencing with any changes to your self-care. When I was in my 30s, I discovered a treasure. That being valuable information to be shared as far and wide as possible. I wish I would have known this earlier in my life. It is for young women and girls as well as their families regarding well-being around the female cycle and hormonal matters. We will discuss what hormones are, how they affect us, and why we can suffer from hormonal shifts, and what to do to alleviate discomforts at all stages of life hormonally, and not to fear the subject matter. I will also be sharing Torah insights that have encouraged me to take care of myself in body, mind, heart, and soul. Since this is a very personal topic, I asked a shayla of a world-renowned poysek, Harav Falk Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, if it is even acceptable to share this information touching on my own personal life publicly. The answer, if it alleviates suffering, then yes. Basically, this is a heart-to-heart chat that can bring immense relief and joy to your life. And what could be better than learning from someone else's real-life experience? The source of this wise information is a lady called Marion Stewart. She has had a wealth of clinical experience and has written 28 books on female and hormonal health, sharing up-to-date, accurate, authoritative, trustworthy advice. She is a nutritionist by profession and has helped tens of thousands of females worldwide. Her methods are based on well-documented scientific research and proofs in her own clinic. Her expertise has produced the best results and in a short time. In my 20s, I heard about the following thought-provoking occurrence. There was once in the USA a panel of a rabbi, doctor, and priest. The audience was asking their view on numerous topics. One question was, does everybody have a soul? There was a general agreement amongst the panel that yes, everybody certainly has a soul. However, the rabbi of all people said no. There was a murmur. He continued, everybody does not have a soul. Every soul has a body. Our bodies are the vessels of our neshamas, transporting them through Olam Hazeh, this world. Our bodies are the toolbox carrying out our avodas Hashem, our mitzvahs, and they need very special care. What are hormones? Hormones are chemicals that are formed chiefly in the endocrine system and then enter the bloodstream and control the activity of an organ or body function by carrying messages from one part of the body to another. They are one of the wonders of Hashem's creation. We all have them, but don't know when they may fluctuate, causing us distressing, emotional, and physical symptoms. We will discuss why we can have awful symptoms and what they are. The amazing news is that the awful symptoms are actually curable. Our subject is PMS, which stands for premenstrual stress. This is the stress or tension experienced by many females a few days before their cycle begins. It is a collection of physical, mental and emotional symptoms that cease shortly after the arrival of the cycle. The cycle in itself is a normal, natural function. For some, it comes and goes unnoticed. Some girls feel very moody premenstrually and cry or are weepy. Some feel perky and active. If you're the energetic type who needs to release energy with movement before a period, then make sure to satisfy this need by brisk walking or doing something active. Some wish to be alone or curl up reading a book and need to briefly be exempt from social or family interaction. Some like to be productive. Basically, whatever your patterns are or whatever your uncomfortable symptoms are, we can control these rather than have them control us Baruch Hashem. Hormonal change in the body is what creates the period, and now we will learn of a very powerful analogy explaining why we may suffer and what to do about this. Brain chemistry is compared to an orchestra. Just as the musical instruments need to all play in harmony, so too our chemicals, our hormones, need to all function in harmony. Who helps the musicians play in harmony? The conductor. If he would not be present doing his job, then the instruments would all be playing out of tune and sound awful to us. It is the conductor who determines the harmony. If the conductor is a drop out, the orchestra will not play in harmony. Well, if our brain chemistry is an orchestra, then what is the conductor that conducts our hormones to play their part in harmony? Our nutrients are the conductor. When we lack certain nutrients, this disturbs brain chemical metabolism and hormone function. And this is what causes our discomforts. And when the deficiency is corrected, this is what restores normal balance. Our bodies have very specific nutritional requirements. Just as our cars would not run well lacking oil or the right fuel, so too the brain will not be able to send out correct messages owing to levels of important nutrients being at a low ebb. Hormones will then not be produced in adequate amounts or at appropriate times of the cycle. Teens and young women are more at risk of deficiencies because they are often away from home in institutions, dorms, or holiday camps. Access to pocket money may tempt one to buy junk foods, and many don't even eat three meals a day. Married women may be at risk owing to extra pressures, other stress, and demands, also sloppy meals, or reaching out for the wrong quick fix foods in order to compensate. Let's sum up so far. As females, we go through episodes of life that places extra nutritional demands on our bodies. They can be our cycles, carrying a baby, nursing. Hormones can change after birth or decades later when the cycle starts grinding to a halt. Some experience symptoms only later on in life, causing quite a shock should this suddenly happen. Some women may feel worse than they already do. Some may feel fine for years and then suddenly start experiencing nutritional deficiencies, leading to the symptoms. Dr. Marion Grossman states that we are not like cookies made with a cookie cutter. No two women are the same. We are unique, each one having different needs guiding how we are to look after ourselves. Marion's approach successfully helped the majority of women with their PMS and is designed to normalize this balance by putting back into the body what time and demands have taken out. The first case of PMS was reported in 1931. A survey carried out by Marion showed in 1986 that 73% of women of childbearing age in the UK were suffering from hormonal challenges in one way or another. Before we get into the debilitating symptoms and their cure, let's just state factors that aggravate hormonal issues today, aside from diet that depletes our reservoir of nutrients, showing how badly we ought to really try our best for our hormonal health. The list I'm sharing now are things that aggravate our hormonal life: over or under eating, lack of exercise, environmental factors meaning stress, antibiotics injected into animals, pesticides and insecticides on veggies and fruits, pollution, acid rain, hormonal changes from harmful estrogens in plastics, pesticides and environmental waste, hormonal medications one may be required to take in a lifetime. If a doctor ever prescribes hormonal tablets for you, take note of your reactions to the medication. The tablets may be the cause of your symptoms. Knowing this helps one know what to do about the situation. Let's discuss painful cycles before we go through the symptoms in the four categories. Painful periods are quite common. Often the pain comes from excessive muscle contraction of the uterus with each period and is felt to be from mild to exceedingly severe cramp-like pain in the lower abdomen. It can also be felt like low back pain or pain from between and down the legs, and when severe, it can be accompanied by giddiness, faintness, nausea, and even occasional vomiting. These all come from the chemical, hormonal changes that occur with menstruation. Most pain occurs in the first 24 hours, or even for a day before the onset of menstruation. Exercise can help with pain tolerance, as well as a hot water bottle or heating pad. Heat seems to have a very soothing effect. One study says that magnesium can help reduce the pain and is found in nuts, seeds, beans, peas, and lentils. For heavy periods, a good intake of iron found in meat, fish, chicken, eggs, nuts, seeds, and vegetable protein is of value. One may need to try a number of painkillers before finding the most suitable one for you. Girls who have consulted with specialists about severe pain have on occasion been told that this will settle down after bearing children, and this was found to be somewhat true. There are some girls and ladies who even have to spend a day at home, missing school or work, from their severe discomforts. Marion says that if there is excessive pain or heavy periods, or periods throughout the month or an irregular cycle, you may wish to see your doctor or gynecologist. It is not surprising that hormones have been referred to as hormones. No one can tell you what your cycle will be like over time. As with all areas of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides. But knowing that hormone challenges are identifiable and treatable brings immense relief. Symptoms can be alleviated in a few months. Of course, one needs to be patient, determined, and most of all, assume responsibility to help oneself. When family members learn and understand that this is a real condition that responds to treatment, they too are relieved and reassured. 90 to 95% of women are cured within 4 months, in even the most resistant cases. The starting point is helping oneself become much more aware of reactions and symptoms one may be challenged with. Take note of how you feel physically and emotionally the days before your cycle begins. Basically, get to know yourself. Before reading the list, there is an important angle I need to share first. Both the PMS and hormonal challenges I'm sharing throughout can present themselves as serious emotional or ill health, requiring the advice that I'm sharing with you. However, there are other chemical imbalances that do occur that occasionally do require a medical, medicinal approach as opposed to the natural approach I will be sharing. Don't ever be ashamed to share any behavior or thought patterns, no matter how odd, strange, or embarrassing, with your doctor. All details are crucial in acquiring a diagnosis. Remember, a test of health given by Hashem is not a shameful matter. It is a life challenge that needs to be dealt with sensibly. Perhaps as I read the list, jot down any mood, behavioral, or physical symptoms that you may recognize in yourself, feeling assured that they can be treated. There are 4 categories of symptoms. PMSA, anxiety symptoms. 80% of sufferers experience this. Nervous tension, irritability leading to hostility, mood swings, where one can be screaming and even slapping others, anxiety. These symptoms can create real sadness. One reason being that we know how important it is to display good midas, good traits, and strive for this. We can feel even more crushed and ashamed when we acknowledge our impulsive and out of control moods and behaviors that don't demonstrate the ideal ways to behave or speak. Our perceptions become distorted owing to our moods, and we can end up looking at life through the wrong glasses, all the while thinking that it is everyone around us being impossible. Arguments can result with parents, siblings, and friends, or even teachers. One's manner can be interpreted as cheeky, dissatisfied, or uncooperative. People tend to be least loving when they need the most love. This is important to bear in mind in all relationships. It is possible that when one is hormonal, one distances those around one just at a time when we need encouragement, support, and love. Tip number one for PMSA, avoid all caffeine. It may help one be alert and combat fatigue, but it greatly aggravates irritability and anxiety. Avoid it in all forms. That's tea, coffee, diet cola, Pepsi, diet Pepsi, chocolate, and cocoa. Redbush tea is a substitute for regular tea and can be had with milk. Some lives have been reformed just by adhering to this one tip, and within a month. One can stop the caffeine instantly, or some of us may need to wean ourselves off it gradually to prevent headaches from withdrawal. I myself initially substituted chocolate for licorice and marzipan, and thereafter chose healthier options, as the desire for something rich and very sweet can be exceedingly strong. Tip number two, attempt 4 to 5 sessions of exercise each week until you feel breathless. For example, walking or dancing to your favorite music, something you enjoy. Tip number three, take good quality, scientifically based supplements. These are concentrated doses of nutrients taken to supplement our diet or nutrient levels. The quantity of supplements depends on the severity of symptoms, quality of diet, and the history of a person taking them. Calcium is nature's tranquilizer, and caffeine kills calcium, aggravating anxiety. A multivitamin as well as magnesium is recommended. At the time, I took Lambert's Optivite 2 to 4 per day. Miriam says 14 to 18 year olds should start with 2 per day. Magnesium seems to be lacking in women of all ages suffering from PMS. Supplements balance this out. Agnes Castus has also been known to do wonders. It is very important for me to mention that one can feel very overwhelmed by all the things we need to do when we are in those uncomfortable symptoms. I remember going to speak to a mature, wise lady when I felt this way. She said as follows, instead of saying to yourself, I did not manage to do much, rather say, considering how I am feeling, I managed to do this and that and that. What an achievement. As a young married woman, this made a big difference to how I faced those challenging days before I had discovered Marion's life-changing advice. In the Vilna Gaon's letter to his family, he quotes Gemara Brachas, which says, one may do much, one may do little, as long as one's heart is directed heavenwards, basically striving to please Hashem. So it is not just the goal that counts, but the journey to the goal. If you have lots to do when you are feeling hormonal, be kind to yourself, look after yourself. You will also be role modeling to others in your family the correct perspective. Life is not about squashing umpteen tasks into the day to the point of despair, and not about competing with other people or just about getting things done. Life requires sensible choices and focus. Quality of life, not only quantity of tasks, is what counts. PMS hydration, 60% of sufferers. This entails weight gain, swelling of extremities, breast tenderness, abdominal bloating, a swollen abdomen. Excess table salt can bloat. Try use low salt. It may be worthwhile to have nice clothes in 2 sizes, and bear in mind the increase is owing to the cycle and not because of a sudden weight gain. Our diet and lifestyle affect the very essence of our being, how we think, feel, behave, and speak, and how we look. To present ourselves well and healthy, and to meet the demands that will undoubtedly be placed on us in a lifetime, we all need to look after our bodies properly, inside and outside. Hashem did not create our bodies to cope with refined, processed foods, empty of nutrients, which also affects our hair, skin, and nails too. We can help ourselves to look and feel healthier, and this boosts our overall self-esteem too. A healthy lifestyle leads to a healthy person. Exercise, relaxation, social interaction, faith in our ability to achieve in life, doing chesed, kindness, focusing on others is all therapeutic. However, realizing you may be short of nutrients is the first crucial step to health in oneself. I read in the name of Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tetz that food is the glue that binds the neshama to the guf. And how do we know this? Because if we would not eat and drink, then we would feel weak, then faint, become unconscious, and then the neshama would depart. Food is the binding factor. As a past art teacher, I can truly say that when working on a project, the glue or product that binds is the most important factor in ensuring a stable, long-lasting piece of work. Too much and the project is a mess. Too little and it is weak and snaps and does not work. The third section of symptoms is PMSC, craving. 40% of sufferers experience this. Craving specific foods which give headaches, forgetfulness, crying, confusion, insomnia. For some, there is a major desire to eat mounds more due to an increased appetite. This can be seen as being greedy, even if only for a few days in a month. One's calorie requirements in the premenstrual week increase up to 500 calories a day, so don't feel nervous regarding diets and weight gain or feel embarrassed by your increased appetite. The weight normally shifts again with each passing day of the period. Never miss a meal. This keeps a constant supply of good nutrients flowing through your brain and nervous system. As described, nutrients are the conductor of your hormone orchestra. Have adequate amounts of protein in all meals. Snack on fruits, seeds, nuts, dried fruit, yogurt, snack bars, and preferably foods containing magnesium. Eat a little and often. This maintains blood sugar levels and helps one avoid being tempted by chocolate. Don't go for the excess bread and pasta. Aim for a green leafy salad once a day and three fruits. Lettuce keeps well if checked in bulk. Checking veggies can feel overwhelming, but see it, as my friend says, an opportunity for a dose of Yiras Shamayim. Remember, food is mood. Regarding crying, tearfulness, and weepiness, this is a common premenstrual symptom. How can we relate to our tears at this time? Firstly, tears are a good thing. They release emotion. What is a tear? Asks Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. He replies, it is very similar to perspiration in the way that they are both liquid and taste the same, salty. Why should they have these similarities? Perhaps to teach us that perspiration is the sweat of the body working hard and tears are the sweat of the soul. Tears are language of the neshama. Next time you feel a little weepy, say thanks Hashem for providing me with tears on a platter and make the most of them, davening to your heart's content. What an opportunity. The fourth and last category, PMSD, depression. 20% of sufferers experience depression, confusion, crying, forgetfulness, insomnia. Years after sharing all this information, I came to meet young ladies and girls who were diagnosed as having PMDD, which Marion says is a label given to women who have much more severe PMS. In her extensive clinical experience over the years, most PMS and PMDD symptoms disappear when women restore balance to the body. It's all done naturally and in the majority of cases without any medicines or hormonal treatments. One young woman made a point of doing exercise no matter how difficult this was in order to release more endorphins, making a difference to each day at this time. I have been told by a few young women that they gained immensely from taking antidepressant medication prescribed by their doctors for severe hormonally induced depression, enabling them to be more functional. Functionality is a great factor to consider. Hashem enabled the discovery of medicines and natural healing methods for the times we need them to support and heal us. There is a time and place for everything, whether medicinal or natural healing methods. Other symptoms can be feeling disorientated, clumsiness, tremors, shakes, negative thinking, agoraphobia, which is a fear of going out, heavy aching legs, generalized aches, bad breath, excessive thirst, an urge to throw things, sensitivity to music and light, mouth ulcers, acne, wind, constipation, diarrhea, boils, hives, cystitis, swollen ankles, painful joints, hay fever, restlessness, and strong perspiration. Some may experience a good number of these all at once. Imagine the distress. Girls, ladies, recognize your own patterns so that you can be in touch with yourselves. Once you're aware, you can be on your way there to helping yourself. If you're having a miserable day or two and feel really out of sorts, ask yourself the following. Have I had an upset? Have I eaten properly today? Have I had enough sleep lately? Am I getting upset about things that don't usually bother me? If you can eliminate these causes, then it may be your PMS playing up. I now share two real-life examples of healing. One post-sem young lady came to speak to me. She felt very shy coming. She was frightened and ashamed of family members seeing her change in her behavior and speech before her cycle. Her doctor had recommended to her mom that she comes to me for a chat. She sat quietly, soaking in the words, and left. Months later, it was her wedding. I was not sure if I should approach her to say Mazel Tov when I popped in to see her mom. I stood discreetly to the side. She must have spotted me from a distance and ran out from within the dancing circle and gave me a big smile and a hug, saying, "You saved my life, and I have spread this information." Another young woman suffered 3 weeks in a month. Her parents understood her physical symptoms, but not the emotional ones. She felt so terrible most of the time that she was afraid to go out. After following the advice, in a short time, she became a new person. Girls, this is in essence a personal topic. Where does modesty fit into discussing a personal topic? How does modesty apply to this particular area? It is mentioned in Koheles that there is a time for everything, a time to be silent and a time to speak. As Dr. Miriam Grossman explains, a modest person knows that everything has its time and place. She knows when it is time to share thoughts and when they ought to remain her own. Just know that even though some subjects are called personal, this does not at all mean they are shameful or embarrassing. However, owing to the value of privacy, personal subjects are to be shared discreetly for a purpose and in a refined way. Going through the experience of starting one cycle, one feels less confused and less alone when able to share. It can happen that a girl may never have been given information, and suddenly her cycle begins and she feels alarmed and does not know what to do, and may share this with you. If you find yourself in this situation at school or anywhere for that matter, reassure her that it is nothing to be afraid of, and it is a sign of growing up, and that you will call a caring lady teacher or someone to come and talk to her about what this means. I encourage you to carry spare sanitary towels or pads, as they are referred to, should you ever be in such a situation or need them unexpectedly yourself. Teen years are filled with physical changes, new emotions, wonderful as well as different and confusing sentiments, and in the challenge of our transition from childhood to adulthood, one can feel quite some turbulence. In fact, every stage of life has its easy as well as difficult bits and challenging moments. Some young women are not sure how to approach talking about their thoughts or feelings, or who to ask about them. Sometimes emotions are forever changing or hard to describe. A large part of our maturing process over a lifetime is about learning to channel our feelings, to control them, developing sensitivity to and respecting ourselves and others. Family and friends can't always detect how we are feeling, and we can't expect people to know how we are feeling unless we express ourselves, and hopefully in a non-aggressive way. Don't feel afraid to say that you are not feeling yourself if that is the case. I'm now sharing the most fantastic idea regarding feelings that I read in a pamphlet written by Miriam Adahan. Where in the neshama did Hashem place our feelings? In the part called the ruach, which actually means wind. This is no coincidence, as our emotions are like the wind. They can be still or a gentle breeze, or turbulent like a hurricane or tornado. Hashem made us like this, with this capacity to swing from one extreme to the other. What are we meant to do about this? Well, the word for feelings is hergesh, of which the root is regesh. Now shuffle these root letters around, and we have two words, goyresh, which means to drive away, and gesher, which means bridge. We can either drive ourselves away to more misery and despair, or we can build a bridge to better emotions, such as the bridge of patience, love, acceptance, emunah, joy and friendship. We are allowed to feel any feeling. It's okay to feel, to sit with our feelings, and we can then seize the opportunity within the challenge of difficult emotions to build a bridge. If, however, we are nutritionally deficient, we are prone to have all the symptoms of PMS, anxiety and moodiness that make it very difficult, if not impossible, to build bridges, even if we would want to in those challenging few days. Words are very powerful. A friend described how, in fact, the word for speech, dibur, and thing, dova, share the same root, meaning speech becomes the thing. Positive word messages to ourselves, either in speech or in our minds, is crucial to our physical and emotional strength. An experiment carried out by a lady called Susan Jeffers, who has groups to help people overcome fear, proves this so powerfully. She saw this experiment originally being done by a man called Jack Canfield. She asks someone to step out from the audience. The person is instructed to close her eyes, put her arm out to the side firmly, and say approximately 10 awful things about herself, such as, I am unworthy, I am useless, I am helpless. She can open her eyes and try to keep her arm up while Susan tries to push it down. It drops. When she tells the woman to repeat the exercise again, saying positive words like, I am valuable, capable, smart, the lady's arm does not budge, the result being that weak words give one a weak arm, and strong words a strong arm. Positive words make us physically stronger. Negative words make us physically weaker. It does not matter if you believe it or not. The inner self registers she is set up for weakness today, or she is set up for strength. The choice is yours. I learned all hormonal information in my 30s, skeptical at first, yet determined to try out the advice, slowly and in stages, wondering if I would in fact notice a difference. I felt duty-bound for myself and my family. The results were amazing, so effective. I'm so grateful to Hashem and express this gratitude by reaching out to others. To sum up, looking after oneself makes one happier, and once you feel yourself again, you can better engage in being your best you and give more of yourself. Your personality and relationships can flourish. Mrs. Ebbing from Manchester shared the following wise words. Being your best means comparing how you were to how you are now, your progress, rather than comparing yourself to others. We are not here to measure up to others, thereby creating pressure on ourselves. However, do engage responsibly in your own growth and health. Muster up the inner strength to ignore and reduce the effect of peer pressure, specifically where it is detrimental to you and your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual self. So firstly, you need not worry that something terrible is happening to you when you experience PMS symptoms. Share this information with your parents or someone close to you so they grasp you better and will understand your needs better. So, to round off, no caffeine, take your supplements and do your exercise. And this will give you improved quality of life. Shame, fear, self-criticism is replaced by self-knowledge. No more outbursts and intense irritation. And you can now understand why controlling midas at this time can be so hard. Relationships improve. No arguments. No more nail-biting stress and tension. Calmer, happier self. You eliminate fear and anxiety. You are able to express feelings and be understood. Other areas of life are easier to handle. Life around one looks brighter and is seen in a better perspective. As we mature, we see things in life with deeper meaning, and this applies to our tefillahs as well. I remember when I was a high school girl and I would daven the Shemona Esrei, when I came to the word Sim Shalom, I would think of peace in the world, no wars. Then when I was a Sem girl, I heard that there was friction between Jewish brothers and sisters and different Yiddish sects. And this really, really hurt me. So davening for peace meant for our own people and Achdus amongst the different sectors. Then when I grew older and discovered through my field of work how much sadness there is in families owing to Shalom Bayis challenges, I learned that we need to daven for peace under roofs, for families. There's nothing more beautiful than Shalom between people and nurturing understanding relationships in homes. Then hormonal challenges hit me. Now the tefillah was to daven for inner peace. We can all daven for this and work towards this by caring for ourselves. Noam Ziv means pleasantness of radiance. We want to shine brighter with each day. It has been established Le'ilu Nishmas Avi Moiri Reb Mordechai ben Reb Svi and Reb Eliezer ben Reb Yitzchak, generous supporter. Please feel free to contact me either anonymously, confidentially, or via another family member. Submit any questions if you wish. You are not alone in the struggle. You need not suffer in silence. You yourself may not be a sufferer. However, you may be the person who will pass this information on to another person who needs it, or you may need it at a later stage in your life. To a dear friend who recommended Marion's writings to me, did you ever imagine that your suggestion would reach so many minds and hearts, affecting so many lives, reaping phenomenal results? Thank you. Thank you, Marion. Thank you to our supporters. Thank you, Hashem. And thank you for listening. And remember, you can be in touch. My telephone number is 0044-161-798-9415. This is in England. Thank you.